بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In accordance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we sit here and partake in fulfilling this obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us. When a servant, a banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfills his obligation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon him, it makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extremely happy. Particularly in regards to this act of worship, this worship being Sawm, fasting, Roza, it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I personally will give this individual the reward for this fasting. It is to that degree, to such an extent, that it actually pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. A servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has an obligation upon him or her to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in so doing, this individual earns the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this Mubarak month, in this very blessed month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and bestowed upon us So many favors, it is incredible. As I was saying to the ladies earlier in the day, we are in the last portion of the month of Ramadan. Tonight being the 21st night, and the day is going to be the 21st day. This is the beginning of the ending of the month of Ramadan. We as individuals are very funny creatures. Our state is always fluctuating. sometimes our emotional state is at a peak, and we feel very zealous. So when approaching the month of Ramadan, and as the month of Ramadan comes, and the first night of Taraweeh, and then second night of Taraweeh, and so on, there is a buzz. Everyone is on a high. And then very quickly, in a few days, you see there's a dip. And there's an element of tiredness setting in. And you've experienced that, especially in this Ramadan, because of the way timings, you do your Taraweeh, you go home, you barely get to sleep, then you have to wake up for Sehri, then you barely get to sleep, then you have to wake up at 8 o'clock, 8:30 to go to work. And then when you come home, or children that go to school, they barely get time to sleep. And on top of that, we remain hungry. And we don't get sufficient sleep. So a person tends to hit a dip. So there's a high, and then there's a dip. There's a high, and then a dip. And then when this dip comes, people tend to become quite despondent and begin to think, you know what, I'm not really doing anything. I should be doing more. Which is true, a person should be doing more. However, this feeling that I'm losing out and there's no benefit for me anymore is a very dangerous place to be in, because at every stage in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept an opportunity for His servant. And if in the 20 days a person hit a high, I've done one Quran khatam, let me see if I can do another one, and he doesn't manage to do one in the same period of time that it took to do one Quran khatam, a person begins to feel a little despondent. The key here is not to feel, but to have an expectation that whatever the case is, I will make istighfar, I will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I will put in more effort for my next round. The barakah of this Ramzan has been such that even though there isn't much time between Fajr and going to sleep and waking up and going to work, and then for Zuhr and then for Asr and then for Maghrib, because the namaz times are so close, and then all of a sudden it's time for iftar, and then you go home, and before you know it you come for Taraweeh, and then you perform your Taraweeh, and then you go back home. How much time do you actually have to recite the Quran al-Kareem? Barely. Very little. But surprisingly, not one, not two, men, women alike, have been messaging me and saying to me, I've finished one Quran, two Quran, three Quran. Up to now, there are individuals that have done seven Quran khatam in this month of Ramadan. And that is seemingly with not having any time. Accepted, this is a fact, that this is the blessing of the month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows an individual to do so. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who propels this individual, seeing the degree and the level of sincerity this individual has. So there's a high, there's a dip, and then all of a sudden a person can't complete the Quran. And then the last 10 days come, and on the 21st, 22nd, there's a bit of a buzz again. And then for 24th, 25th, there's a dip. And then come the 27th night, the whole masjid is buzzing. And then the next day, all of a sudden, there's a big dip. But in this situation, what do you do? It's quite simple. Stick to istighfar. In any situation, be it in the month of Ramadan, be it outside the month of Ramadan, but in particular in the month of Ramadan, because there is an expectation from us that we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the whole month has been given to us. And more so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat kareema, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum usiyam, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattakun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you and me and all believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who have believed, believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed an honor upon you of addressing you in a very, very affectionate manner. Me and you might think, well, believers, we're all believers. Hypothetically, as an example, a father has 4 sons, 5 sons. Those sons, they each one have a name. Say Abdullah. When the father refers to the son as Abdullah, of course the attention is given to Abdullah, and Abdullah gives his attention to his father. And you may have experienced this yourself, that when your father or your mother, and nowadays there's a big issue and a big problem, and I have a big problem with that. Wives now call their husbands by their names. I'm getting a bit distracted, but let me mention it since it's come to me. Wives mention the name of their husband. When they talk to them, they address them. And I didn't ask, there may be so many of us sitting here whose wives refer to them as Abdullah. I hope there's no Abdullah here, because I don't know if there is one. So I'm using an example. Abdullah. Now his name is Abdullah. The wife is referring to the individual who has a name, Abdullah. Fair enough. He gives the attention, he's used to it, he knows my wife is referring to me. On the other hand, if you have a wife saying to her husband, my dear husband, or my beloved husband, what do you think the reaction will be from the husband? If she's saying Abdullah, and then on the other hand, she says, oh, my beloved husband. I'm sure you can process this yourselves. that when she refers to as the husband as my beloved husband, he is going to be so affectionate towards her, more so than her calling him by his name. Am I right? Hazrat Maulana Shafali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that a wife should never disrespect the husband by calling him by the name. But she should refer to him in some other way. My love, my darling, whatever. This is how a wife should address the husband. But unfortunately, feminism has killed females. Feminism has killed the feminists. They don't remain as a female anymore. They've become some other entity. As I said to you, now I'm getting distracted. I'm going off totally in a different direction. The point that I'm trying to make is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed you as believer, this is a special khitab, this is a special address, this is a very particular way of drawing your attention. It is specific to you because you are a believer. That you believe in me, so you know what? I believe in you. And so in this address, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fasting and how it was prescribed previously and it was made fard upon them. However, there is a maqsad, there is an aim, there is a goal that is to be achieved by the fasting. And so very clearly within the same sentence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it there, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. There you are. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, you know, we tend to, so that you may fear Allah, so that you may learn to restrain yourself, so that you may learn restraint. In English, it's translated in a number of ways and understood in a number of ways. Ultimately, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ is an achievement. An achievement of understanding of what is mine and what is not mine. No matter where you are, no matter where it may be, no matter what you do. Let me give you an example. I should keep this just to 10 minutes, isn't it? Because you're all falling asleep. You want to sleep? Sure. It's only a few nights of staying awake a little bit. It's not going to hurt anybody. We sleep the whole year. So, for a few nights, and these are only a few moments, when you see the reward of this, what you're doing now, in the hereafter when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, you know what, on that one occasion you sat in that masjid and you sat through this, here this is your reward. So we will think then over there, oh no, why didn't I spend every night like that? Trying to gain this achievement. And when I say achievement, the word achievement might strike a thought in a person's mind that you've come to the limit and that's your achievement. No. In la'allakum tattakun, there is no limit. La'allakum tattakun is an endless sea, and it carries on. And the further an individual dives into the depths of La'allakum tattakun, the more this individual sees and experiences. So there was an individual, his name was Mubarak, and I've mentioned this incident before to you, I think quite a few years ago now. And this Mubarak, he was a keeper of the orchard, and his master had hired him. And so he was a laborer. He used to look after the orchard. And this orchard was a pomegranate. It had pomegranate trees. And so he would tend to it day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year after year. So on one occasion, the Lord, the Master, had some guests. So he called Mubarak, said, "Come." So Mubarak came and said to the Master, "How am I going to serve you?" So the Master said, "Look, I have some guests. And I would like to present some nice pomegranate to them to eat. So can you go into the orchard and pick some nice pomegranates and bring them?" So Mubarak went into the orchard, and then he picked some pomegranates and he came. He cut open the pomegranate and placed them on a tray, and then presented them. So the Master ate the pomegranate, and it was extremely bitter. Immediately he spat it out, and he said to Mubarak, "What's wrong with you? Can you bring a nice sweet pomegranate, not this bitter one?" So Mubarak went back into the orchard. He picked some more pomegranates, opened them, presented them, put them on a tray. And again, when the Master tasted it and ate it, he spat it out and he said, "What's wrong? Bring a nice one." This happened a number of times. Then the Master said to him, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Don't you know a good pomegranate? Haven't you tasted the pomegranate before you bring it to us?" And when the Master said this, Mubarak said to him, "I have never tasted the pomegranate. I have never tasted the pomegranate." When I say pomegranate, you know anar, isn't it? He said to the Master, "I've never tasted it." The Master was extremely surprised. He said, "What? You all this time you've been working in my orchard and you've not tasted of a pomegranate?" He said, "No." He said, "Why? All this time that you've been working in my orchard, you've never tasted a pomegranate." He said, "No." He said, "Explain yourself." So Mubarak said to his Master, "Master, you pay me for looking after the orchard. And so I clean it and I water the plants and I water the trees and make sure it's in a good state. That is what you pay me for. However, you don't pay me for eating the pomegranate, so I don't eat the pomegranate. When the master heard this, he was so impressed, so impressed, so impressed. He understood from that the level of taqwa, the level of taqwa that Mubarak had. For a person to be able to understand that my contract only involves me sweeping the floor and looking after the plants and just watering them, and he refrained and he abstained from eating the pomegranate, knowing the fact that if I do that, I have not been told by my master that I can eat it. I don't have explicit permission. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. I shall finish this story tomorrow, hopefully. Should I finish it now? Then I won't have anything to say tomorrow. Let me save something for tomorrow. So I'm going to stop here and understand this, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is a certain level that is actually required in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to understand that if I do something, it's going to affect my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that I'm going to benefit from this relationship. And this is the whole idea behind the month of Ramadan. It helps an individual to better themselves in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll do the Khadme Khajgan and then we'll do a little bit of muraqabah, make dua. And then you can rest. As in any act of worship, before you actually begin to do it, psych yourself up. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he would sit to perform wudu, in the winter it was noticed that he would break out in sweat. So he was asked and he said, I have to stand in the presence of my Lord. Whenever a person wants to indulge in an act of worship, psyching yourself up really helps a lot. And that doesn't mean, you know, you stand there or you sit there and you shout on the top of your voice, I'm going to read Quran, I'm going to read Quran. Not like that. It's a mental thing. You psych yourself, you tell yourself, I'm going to read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to have a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And revia, when you touch the Quran al-Kareem, you are touching the most divine words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most valuable book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. You know how you treat your mobile phone, you don't want it to fall to the ground, you don't want greasy fingers to go on it. So the Quran al-Karim is even more valuable than that. That's what I mean when I say psych yourself. Immediately when you touch the Quran al-Karim, there should be a current that flows between you and the Quran al-Karim. There should be a feeling that now I am holding something extremely precious. I can't touch it without wudu. I can't, when it's in my hands, I can't think about anything else. I can't be distracted by anything else. And I'm going to indulge in a conversation with my Creator. So when I say psych yourself, that is how you psych yourself. But we don't. Because what we do is we pick up the Quran al-Karim and we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Somebody comes along, what's up? And then we look up and say, yeah, what's up? And then we back down, reading. How does that work? So, when reading Durood Sharif, understand that there are so many virtues. The best, by far, one of the most the most beneficial thing about Durood, advantageous. The most beneficial thing about Durood Sharif is the fact that it brings a person closer to Rasulullah ﷺ. So, inshallah, focus and think about what you're going to do now. And contemplate. Don't just do it parrot fashion. So we're going to do the Khatm Khajgan, then we'll do a short muraqabah, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل
سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا. الله ولي الذين آمنوا.
سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى
Close your eyes, focus upon your heart, contemplate the mercy coming down upon the heart, and out of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, the heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.